If just thinking about your bills makes you feel confused and disorientated, like your head is full of raspberry jelly, then you need Monzo. Download your new favorite bank and pay bills from custom pots. Money never felt like Monzo. UK residents, T's and C's apply.
Hey, it's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and Kyle Kinane got together each week to ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and other mysteries of the universe. Or at least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also ran a Patreon page that offered up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully someday soon we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster, but until then, enjoy a blast from the past from your old pals Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
Well, it's time now to be somebody. I had some time, friend, been on my mind. Hey, Alabama, hey, Tennessee, you know Missouri ain't doing fine. I heard a heartbeat just like a gunshot. Some smoking beer is what she said.
No, we did one while I was in New Orleans. We did a Halloween episode. Yeah, where
That's
are you?
That's what we're talking about. I am home.
Uh-huh.
I've been home midweek. That was weird. This is what we're talking about, everybody. Patreons. Mm-hmm. Patrons.
Yeah, welcome, patrons.
We're going to get to your questions real quick. But yeah, I started the last weekend in August.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was down in L.A. And I was gone from the second week of September for a week and a half. Mm-hmm. I've just been gone. I'm trying to see how many clubs I've done. I don't know. I just can't believe it's right now. It is November 3rd.
What do you mean?
And I'm
it snuck up on you?
I just can't
believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like High Plains was the first weekend of September.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I was there last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nutty. It's nutty, man.
It's funny how travel alters your sense of time.
Yeah, like you just got back from a month.
Yeah, I got back from a month on the road. And, like, thinking back, like, that first week on the road feels like 3 months ago. But in reality, it was just a month ago. I think because, like, or at least the way I do it, when I go out on these big runs, you cram so much into a small amount of time. You know, in 28 days, I went to 16 cities and did 20 shows and
mm-hmm.
ate dozens of plates of barbecue. Like you know.
I've heard, yeah.
I cram in, like, a year's worth of experience and travel into 1 month, and then it just mm-hmm. kind of alters your perception of everything. Especially you're just back and forth. Like, every weekend since August?
Yeah. I'm looking at how many. I think I've played 12 different cities. That doesn't seem like that much. But it's been club weekends.
Well, yeah, it's a lot
I'm not going to each one individually. Yeah, what it is, it's like my weekends are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's when I get home. And I just mm-hmm. come home and I like, what? I don't even know what I'm talking about right now.
That's
I'm just
right,
fucking loopy. I don't know if I got back yesterday or the day before. I got to leave in 12 hours for the airport.
Ugh. Where are you going this weekend?
Kansas City Improv. Not near Kansas City. Kind
oh,
of,
man.
But Yeah, I'm feeling like a pretty scrambled, but I'm just, the only reason I'm keep going, I'm like, well, it's only a couple more. Mm-hmm. It's only a couple more. I got a private thing in Denver next weekend, then Indiana, Midwest, Chicago, then Thanksgiving, then Bakersfield, then San Francisco. It's only a few more. It's only a month more of shows.
How big a break?
Before then, it's Christmas, and then it's crazy. And then
how much time are you taking off? When's your first road date of the new year? You taking all of January off, or what are you doing?
Vegas, in January 12th.
Ooh, okay, so you only got a couple weeks off.
But I got nothing else in January.
So okay.
I'm taking it easier next year.
That's good.
I say that now until the work's offered, and then you're like, oh, well, this isn't a real job anyway, so you have to say yes to anything, you know? I don't know if you feel that way.
I mean, to a certain degree, but I think where you're at, you say no to some stuff, right? Surely.
Not a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, good for you, man.
Nobody cares about this. We answer their questions. They don't listen to us, bitch. It's post-Halloween. Did you have a good Halloween?
I did. I had some drinks, had some candy, watched some scary movies. Dude,
Charles in a fun costume.
Yeah, Charlie was a pink stegosaurus. He's really into dinosaurs right now. So,
he's going through his dinosaur phase.
Yeah, dude, I watched a movie that you recommended, and it almost made me vomit. not because of the content of the movie, but I fell victim to the shaky cam. I got some fucking vertigo or something. I watched 2 minutes of Hell House LLC and was like, I think I'm about to throw up.
It's the found footage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the found footage is...
I don't do well with those, with the shaky cam stuff, man. I don't know why. I don't get car sick very often, but man, sometimes that shaky cam shit. And I was like, all right, this looks good, and I was enjoying it, and it's like, oh, fuck. And it just hit me.
How were you watching? Were you watching, like, on your laptop, or were you watching
TV? regular full-size TV.
Huh, okay.
But yeah, definitely. It made... Oh, I had to shut it off. And I did that thing where you just go stand next to the shower. I was like, all right, I'm probably going to puke.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I never did, but I was locked and loaded. Just that, you know, like when you're... All the blood just drains out of your face and you feel white and just, it was just immediate.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck. A couple movies have done that to me. Creep. Katie tried to get me to watch Creep years ago. And
I watched that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that same thing, it's like found footage, more or less. Not found because the guy's alive at the end of, whoops, sorry, didn't mean to.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that or the fact that was the most annoying fucking character I've ever seen on film. But
he's a creep.
Yeah, it's more than a creep. He's a fucking dork.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I took a break and finished that one. I enjoyed it for what it was worth. But I did not finish Hell House LLC because.
That style. I dig how that could be not conducive.
What'd you do? what'd you do Halloween?
Swallowed weird is what I did.
Work it out. Were you in Fest during Halloween?
What did I do Halloween? Halloween was Monday, right?
Yes.
Monday night I was in an airport. Excuse me. Monday night I was coming back from Fest in Gainesville. Mm-hmm. Good times. Thank you for everybody who that chose to see me over a veil. I think you chose poorly, but thank you nonetheless. Monday was a travel day, so no. But the Halloween weekend, it's a college town, Gainesville, mm-hmm. but most everybody's gone to the football game that's out of town. It's an away game. That's why they have Fest this weekend.
Yeah,
but there was still some fun costumes, but mostly like it was like college kid costumes. Some women, like there's always like the slutty whatever version, which, and I'm not even condemning it. I think if you're like, be safe, ladies, be safe. Mm-hmm. Your body, your choice. If you got it, flaunt it. Even if you don't, do what you want to do. It's mm-hmm. your choice. But since some, but like it, I think it's the lack of creativity that bothers me. I'm not bothered by the mostly naked ladies walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not bothered by that.
No, nor should you be.
Good on you. Mm-hmm. But even when there's some creative, like, oh, I'm a cat. You see, here's my TNA, but I got little cat ears and whiskers. But some ladies, they were just dressed up. They were just slutty sluts. There wasn't even a costume. They're just wearing their underpants.
Oh, man.
Around town.
Bless their heart. Good for them.
They're just dressed like underpants.
I'm going to try that next year. Just weirdly enough, tidy whities.
Yeah, what are you?
I'm a slut.
I'm slutty Dave.
What's up?
A costume would get you in a lot of trouble, West Hollywood, buddy.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Old slutty Dave.
I got enough attention over here.
Yeah. Just a lot of slutty Sues walking around. Like no lean into any sort of costume. Just
yeah.
Like okay, well, fucking get out there. Be safe. I hope. I hope the fellas treat you nice. But yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of like, and then you know, you're just an old man being like, oh wow,
yeah,
look at you. I feel terrible.
Look at you.
I feel like a
how about
just
that?
A big old creep walking around this town. But it's a fest for the people that don't know. It's a punk rock music festival. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it is like 100% good vibes.
Really?
Positive interactions. There's zero ego. There's zero attitude of the thousands of people that convene on that city every year for this festival. It's just, you could just sit there and stand next to somebody, start talking to them, and that's it. You're just friends. It really is like.
No bro-y douchebags?
None. Zero.
I figured that music would attract a few douchebags.
It's not, because it's within that genre of music. Mm-hmm. It can be. I mean, punk rock bowling seems like more posturing and more of a fashion show than anything. But Fest, it's like, it's not about that at all. You want to dress like a dress however you want. Nobody's judging you. You could dress like the most punk rock person in the world. You could tuck your polo shirt into your khakis and nobody cares. It is there to be like this. It's almost like how Bridgetown was for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like no attitudes, no egos. Everybody's here to like just enjoy the thing they participate in.
What do you think the average age at Fest?
Well, that was the thing. This was the 20th year anniversary, and it was, you know, there's bands that have been going there for 20 years in their 20s are now in their 40s,
and so are the
maturation
fans.
Was definitely a theme.
Okay.
Going on. So, yeah, it definitely skewed 30 plus, I'd say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, older folks.
Well, that's cool.
But yeah, it was a good time. And you're back from a month in a row. Was that picture I saw on your Instagram of the hotel luggage cart, is that all the luggage you were traveling with?
Yeah, well, probably not all of it, but yeah, all that would fit on the cart. Three of those bags were mine. Everything else was Katie's. It's like touring with Lady Gaga.
Is she unfamiliar that there is laundry elsewhere
in
the world?
No, I tried to tell her. I was like, look, you know, we're going to be gone for a month. That doesn't mean you got to have 30 days worth of clothes. I was like, take about a week's worth and we'll do laundry about once a week. And she's like, oh, okay. And yeah, she just likes to be prepared. She's thorough.
I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a workout hauling that shit around.
Not all of it went into a hotel every night.
Well, a lot of it did.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because
really?
You know, I don't, you know, hey, do your thing, sweetheart.
Something tells me she doesn't go camping.
No, she's not a big camper.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's not, yeah. She doesn't travel light. She's not efficient, but.
Travels. She enjoys a life of luxury.
She has grown accustomed to a certain lifestyle, that's for sure.
I did think it was funny when I jumped in the car with you guys in Memphis. Like, we could squeeze you in. I'm like, all right, it's funny. And I'm like, oh, no, it really is.
Yeah, we weren't lying.
It's a full-size wagon. And, okay, I'll hold my backpack on my lap.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to it. Enough dicking around.
Yeah, enough fuckery.
I'm glad you're back safe. I'm glad your special went well. We'll talk more in the regular episode about all that stuff. But people aren't tuning in for our bullshit. They're tuning in because they want to hear their questions answered. And cannabis-infused pork rind asks, when y'all were kids, did you ever change masks on Halloween so you could hit your neighborhood twice, or was I just a prick? Also, Jacob's Ladder is the best horror movie, bar none. Might watch that tonight. Little
Never
D's
seen
out
that.
Screaming in the hall.
Who's that?
Lil D, get in here.
What's right. Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, always good. I don't think you were a prick. I think you were just advantageous.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Squeaks, get in here. That's all. I think you did if you were going to go through the effort of changing, if it was just masks, I mean, if you were doing a whole costume, I could see wanting to make a move, but.
Not good for you. Yeah, I don't think I ever tried to pull that off.
I think it's I don't think you're a prick. I think you were just, you were making a move.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that move. You know, it's a little bit, slightly on the slimy spectrum, but not full prick.
Mm-hmm.
You're all right. You weren't just, you know what? These videos of the kids that are just taking, like, I don't want to victim blame, but don't leave candy on your porch.
Yeah.
Do not rely on the kindness of society.
Mm-mm.
Videos of the kids just dumping the whole thing in their bag and everything. I'm like, of course that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Of course. So, yeah, I don't blame you for doing that, but come on, guys. At least you put on another mask and made the rounds. You put the literal legwork in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good for you, cannabis-infused pork rind.
Yeah. Would you eat a cannabis-infused pork rind?
Absolutely.
Sure you would.
What's not to like? Mm. I like a good pork rind.
And you like weed.
Mm-hmm. Although I don't, not a huge fan of edibles in terms of the taste. Like I don't like that marijuana taste. But you know, that's the price of doing business.
Yeah, I mean they're not. It's a delivery system.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Todd Griffith, what's your favorite car you've ever drove? That's a good question.
All right.
Man, I had fun driving that 5.0 Mustang convertible in Hawaii. That was a good time.
Yeah.
But probably my favorite car was one I had in high school. I had an 83 Jeep CJ7 Renegade. And 33-inch tires. Painted it. Had a new fresh red paint job.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I had a lot of the accessories. Had the padded roll bar and the seat covers and had the Nerf bars. And
what
I didn't have
it?
A 83 CJ7. Love that thing.
What made you get rid of it?
I sold it to go to pay for broadcasting school. Was tired of going to college. I wanted to be a radio DJ. So I sold that thing for like $4,000. And I paid $3,000 for broadcasting school. And I bought an $800 84 Chevy S10 Blazer. Originally gray and red. This was basically pink and primer. And $800 paid for that thing. Drove that for a couple of years. I love that Jeep, but it just wasn't very practical. And it had a lot of mechanical issues, but it sure did look pretty.
Yeah, the Jeep was fun to go smash around. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Driving over stuff. Like, that was fun to drive in doing Jeep stuff.
Yeah.
That was a good time. I'm trying to think, like, I don't know if I ever got to drive anything, like, super cool. Mm-hmm. I still have a gift card to go do, like, exotic cars in Vegas, you know?
Ooh, okay. Like the...
Like Lamborghinis and stuff, yeah.
I think it was in Vegas where I saw like a full-size, like a go-kart track, but for real cars, exotic cars.
Yeah, it's called a racetrack.
Yeah, racetrack. Yeah, one of those. Yeah, yeah.
That's all right. I've given that to you. My buddy Noriko Ott was a very funny comic in Portland. Last night we were hanging out. We were talking about like traveling or something. Like, yeah, I was taking like these inter-China flights. Like once you get there, you know, you fly within the country. I was taking the inter. He's like, yeah, they call those domestic. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So tit for tat. Just pass. I'm just paying it forward.
Oh, man, that's funny. What's the coolest car you ever drove?
I mean, I had a 1965 Mercury Comet.
Okay.
That was, I'm not going to say it was fun to drive, because it was a fucking hoopty. It was three on the tree. You ever drive one of those?
I drove an old truck like that one time. Okay. I'm seeing this. I've Googled that. That's a good looking car, dude.
It was a four door. I got the four door. Yeah, it was a jalopy, but I loved it because it was an old car, and the windows would fall off, like the passenger window would fall off the track.
Uh-huh.
Like just driving home in the middle of winter, and you just hear the window like clunk and just fall into the door, and you're like, well, I'm on the highway, so I just had to bring hats for people if they're going to be in my car. But I thought it was cool, but it was a kick through the rocker panel. It's like trying to kick the snow off my shoe before getting in. It just went right through it. It was all rusted out. Mm. But it's funny to think that when I had that car, that was like a 35-year-old car.
Because
I had it like late 90s, probably about 2000, into the aughts. So 35 or 37-year-old. Now you think like, well, that's just a car that's from the late 80s.
Yeah.
Like if you bought like, or like a 1987 car now, that's what that looked like.
Yeah.
And nobody would want a car from 1987. Like just, oh, here's a Chevy Cavalier. Oh, ooh. Fucking cool. Cool stuff. Probably not even around. It probably wouldn't have lasted.
My first car was an 87 Pontiac Grand Am. I like that.
My
little
buddy
thing.
Had a Grand Am, and he loved it.
It was
a Grand Prix, maybe.
It was sporty. It was heavy too. It was short, yeah, but really heavy, and like you could take, you know, really sharp turns going pretty fast. You didn't have to worry about it sliding 80, around.
87, you said?
87, blue on blue. It like kind of a navy blue with like a light blue plastic panel.
You said this was your first car?
Uh-huh, first car.
I had, what did I have? Oldsmobile. What was it? 89. Not Cutlass, I forget. I got to look at what it was. I think it was Oldsmobile 88 maybe. I'm looking it up. No, I'm just looking up old cars. Yeah, man. Jalopies. God bless them.
Man, well, speaking of my Jeep, the only time I didn't like my Jeep was in the winter, because it still got pretty cold in Georgia in the winter. And just, yeah. I had the soft top. And, man, just not only cold, but just noisy, just flapping around. And I used to always envy anybody, any of my friends who had like a traditional car with like a airtight cabin. It's like, oh, it's quiet. You can hear the radio. Like it just.
Yeah. We rented a Cadillac, Rachel and I, for a little like California road trip a few years ago. We're doing wine country, and Rachel's like, fuck it, I'm going to rent this. I'm like, oh, we'll get a car. She's like, I got us a Cadillac. I'm like, all nice. Right. And it was kind of like, ooh, yeah. I get it, man.
Yeah.
I had an 86 Grand Marquis for a while. I love that you could just steer it with a pinky. Giant boat, but you just hook your pinky in. That's how powered the power steering was.
There you go.
Alex Wynn is asking, have you either of you guys ever had any close calls with wild animals? Says, where I live, there are a lot of bears and mountain lions, and while I've never encountered one up close, I do get spooked whenever I'm out playing in the woods. Give the original Nosferatu a rewatch. Just saw it the other night with a live soundtrack provided by Cold Sanctum, who you should check out. It was tight.
Watch Nosferatu you, the other night. I pre-gamed Halloween evening with Nosferatu.
Okay.
Before Katie and I sat down together, I just kind of had that on in the afternoon and enjoyed that.
That's a good, that's a good atmospheric, spooky in the background kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that character is, even though it's so old at this point, still one of the creepiest characters I've seen in a movie, just the way they made that character look.
Yeah, yeah.
Very creepy.
Good call. All right. Close call with wild animals. Well, I had infamously helped a skunk get its head out of a mayonnaise jar at one point in my life.
Oh, that's such a good bit.
Hope he's out there doing well. I've seen bears and everything. Oh, I just saw some video. These people were hiking, and there was a bear on the trail, and just walking towards them, just slowly walking. And it's, what's the bear one? Make yourself bigger.
Yeah.
Because they were like slow, like you don't want to run, but they're like slowly walking back away from it. And it was one of those videos that got my heart racing. You know,
man. So there's
like,
another.
What would I do in this situation? I'm like probably panic. I don't know.
Ooh. That's scary. I saw one the other day of like a mountain climber or something. It was like, I guess he had a GoPro on his helmet or something, but he's like kind of climbing up a mountain and he looks up and there's a bear running down at him and it like got, it made contact and the bear actually like flew past him and then like fell a little bit down the mountain and then ran back
up. I saw that. Yeah, that bear was coming at him.
Whoa. Yeah, he did like some jiu-jitsu.
Trying to get a piece of him.
He like judoed him out of the way, and oh man, that was intense.
Yeah, yeah, that bear was coming at him. Mm-hmm. Bear was coming at him for some for a piece of it.
I've told the story of I got chased by a wild boar when I was 12 years old in Waleska, Georgia. Almost shit my pants. Getting chased by a boar.
You got chased by a boar?
Yeah, I told you that story, I thought. Yeah, we had like 5 acres out in the woods, right in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and had a basketball goal and then sharp drop off down the hill, and the ball would always go rolling down the hill. And it would, this time, it went like 100 yards down the hill, like deep, wooded, steep hill. And I go down there to get this ball, and I heard it before I saw it, and it was like snorting and huffing and puffing. And I looked down, there's a fucking boar, and I don't know if he was chasing me, but he was running in my direction. And man, I hauled ass up that hill, and about 20 yards later, I looked behind me, and he had kind of veered off. But upon first sight, it looked like a wild boar was charging me. And it probably got as close as 20 yards away, 20, 30 yards. And,
yeah, they'll fuck you up, right?
Man,
like a boar will fuck you up.
Yeah, this thing had tusks and everything. Scared the shit out of me.
Really?
And then a few years ago, I think I've told this story, Ryan Singer and I are on a hike in Glendale up in the mountains, and we see a bobcat, and he goes bolting the other way, and I just pick up a rock and start walking towards
it. Oh, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see it. I mean, and it wasn't like I wasn't trying to be macho or tough guy, but I was just like, I'm not too afraid of that thing. So I just picked up a big, like, softball-sized rock just in case and kind of staggered towards a little bit. And then Ryan's screaming at me, no, what are you doing? I'm like, I just want to look at him. And fortunately, he was, like, walking. The bobcat was walking away from me, not towards me. If it had been walking towards me, I'd have probably felt a little different. But I was like, I'm just going to, you know.
Was it bobcat or mountain lion?
Bobcat. No, a mountain lion. Mountain lion, I would have hauled ass the other way. But for some reason, it just didn't seem that. And I don't know if it was a young one. It was fairly small, but I was like, yeah, what's the big deal? It's a bobcat.
No, bobcats, they just seem like that. Like, I mean, if you've ever gotten scratched by a regular house cat, you realize how quick and sharp and just like, oh, man, you fucked me up and you're just, you live in my house.
Yeah.
That's where I think you underestimate your abilities to attack one of these animals, Dave. No offense.
You know, yeah.
But, yeah, I saw why I was on a bike ride, and I saw like little babies going down the side of the trail, and I'm like, oh, where's the mom? And she was on the other side of the trail. And I was like, well, you're never supposed to go between the mom and her babies, but she was just staying there watching me, and I have to go up this trail. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get off my bike. I'm going to put my helmet around the back of my neck, because I heard somewhere I think like they go after the back of your neck or something. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I picked up a rock, and I'm like, just kept an eye. I'm like, I'm just passing through. But I'd seen bears right up off by Jet Propulsion Labs doing a bike ride. Well, I saw one bear when I was up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you told me
about
that.
But they're black bears. They don't really, they don't tangle with folks too much.
I couldn't imagine.
There was a bear, they walk just through, they go through people's garbage cans out in like Sierra Madre and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Walking through the neighborhood.
I couldn't imagine running across a fucking grizzly bear. Jesus Christ!
Fuck all that. Nobody's fucking around with grizzly bears. Don't fuck around with don't do this grizzly man shit.
What was he thinking?
He wasn't.
That poor guy.
I don't feel bad for him. I told you I got in trouble the next because I laughed at that movie when they were playing like the. Just they're hitting him with a frying pan, bears that I'm like, you're just seasoning the air. You're just making it smell even more delicious. Yeah, no, that guy was a fuck. I felt bad for the woman he coaxed into.
Mm-hmm. Did she die too?
I think so.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like, oh, no, they're friendly. You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But I can't think of anything else. Saw some sort of shark when I was snorkeling once, but it was like not... like a dangerous one.
Hmm.
When we're in Hawaii. I don't think had black widows all over our old apartment, but that was never a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Man, we had scorpions in our house growing up. And
George, I thought they were desert. They were desert insects.
No, we had a bunch of scorpions. Yeah, when we... That same house I was talking about. In between 6th grade and 7th grade, I moved like 40 miles north. Grew up in Woodstock, Georgia. Then after 6th grade, we moved to Waleska, Georgia, which is North Cherokee County. Kind of right where the Blue Ridge Mountains start. And we had all kind of, like so many times I'd get into bed and I'd feel one crawling on me, just fucking panic and flail. So then... After about the first month, I had to look in the bed every single time. And about once a month, I'd open the covers, and before I get in, there's a fucking scorpion. I'm like, ah!
Yeah, man, I used to work... I tell you, when I first started comedy, I worked with this dude. You go by Mark the Knife, and he was like a juggler.
Hmm.
But one of his tricks, he'd put a scorpion in his pants and like juggle knives on a unicycle or some shit. It was a real scorpion, and he just kept it in like a sunglasses case. Because it's like if you keep it in a cool, dark place, it just stays calm.
Huh.
But I guess maybe their poison's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Yeah, I guess not.
Like black widow's bites. Yeah. Like they could be bad, but if you wash them with soap and water and you're not allergic, you're going to be fine. But
brown recluse. That's a real deal, right? Yeah,
that's supposed to be a bad one. I'd see rattlesnakes on bike rides pretty often.
I don't think I've ever seen
often,
a rattlesnake.
But you'd see them out there. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're on a sandy trail and the same color as the trail, and all of a sudden you're just a foot away from one, like, ah, and then I crashed one time. That's how I got poison oak all over my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming down this trail, and it's like a hillside, not cliff, but like... To my left is the mountainside, and so to the right is going down the mountain, and the trail's cut out of the side of it. There's a snake. I just got a new bike. The brakes were all... I was just a shitty bike rider, too. I locked up the brakes, went over the bars, started going down the side of the hill. Because I was like, so I grabbed all these plants. Then I look up, I see the snake coming down the side of the hill at me.
Ooh.
So I'm scrambling through whatever shrubs are there to get back around it. Turns out it was all poison oak.
Ah.
I didn't know what poison oak was. I'm just like hanging. I got home, didn't even take a shower right away. I was hanging out. Oh, sucked. Did not get bit by the snake, though.
Was that the time, before I even moved out to L.A., we did a little run together around Chattanooga and Greenville, South Carolina with Luke Fields, and you had recently had some poison oak, and I remember right before you went up, you were in the van rubbing calamine lotion all over your naked body.
Yep, that was it. Yeah, I was.
I remember that.
I had a big long bit about it. My whole body was like a sweltering cheddar brat. It was disgusting. Yeah, I had to bring so many changes of clothes.
Yeah,
it was horrible. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, Luke kind of planted the van life seed on that trip because he had that maroon, I think it was a Chevy conversion van.
Yeah, and he had his band van.
Yeah, and I remember being in the back of that thing and being like, I could live in something like this. Yeah. So, yeah,
it was his touring van. Bit Brigade just played here a couple weeks ago. I didn't make it to see him. I had a show that night. I actually had two shows. Didn't even make it to my second one, but he's doing well. Luke Fields, go see Bit Brigade if you're a video game person.
Yeah.
You want to see a band play the soundtrack to a video game. I think they were doing Metroid or something.
Hmm.
And the guy and a member plays the game on stage live and beats it. He's one of the band members. He is billed as one of the band members. He plays the game live on a screen perfectly, and they play the soundtrack to all the movies.
That's cool.
It's very cool, even if you're not into video games.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool thing to see. Ryan Lawrence, would you guys do an episode where you use a Ouija board?
I don't know how I feel about that.
I have a hard time reconciling it that it's a toy that mm-hmm. is now we're supposed to give reverence. But the movie Ouija, Origin of Evil, was a good movie. It was one mm-hmm. of my scary movies from last month.
Okay.
I enjoyed the movie. But then you realize, like, oh, yeah, Milton Bradley. Like, the people that make stamp out Candyland.
Yeah, that's right. So they invented the Ouija board?
I think so. I'm going to go.
Okay, that does take some of the sting off of it. Yeah.
Let's see.
I don't know why I thought it was like an ancient thing that existed prior to them like reproducing it.
It's a trademark of Hasbro.
Yeah, if that's the case.
Well, I think maybe they... I think the trademark is different than the fact that it was being used. History. Let's go to history. Call automatic writing, which is a technique, you know, where you kind of just write freely and a spirit's supposed to communicate through you. So this is, okay, it's based on the commercial parlor game. An employee of Elijah Bond, William Fold, took over the talking board production. Oh, I see. Okay. According to Wikipedia... it's following the American Civil War in the United States. Mediums did significant business in allegedly allowing survivors to contact lost relatives. The Ouija itself was created and named in Baltimore, Maryland in 1890, but the use of talking boards was so common by 1886 that news reported the phenomenon taking over the spiritualist camps in Ohio. So this was a thing that was used. I think Hasbro just came in and put the trademark on Ouija board.
Okay.
But they're called talking boards or what have you. All right.
Hmm.
Somebody had a funny bit about like them making them in the factory next to the other games. It'd be like, but this one's haunted.
I've never been in a place where I didn't think the other person wasn't moving it or that both mm-hmm. people are subconsciously trying to delicately touch something so their hands are moving it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you just put your hands on something and rested them there, of course it's not going to move. But it's like
remember to hold it lightly so it can move. Well, you're going to like jitter and move it around.
Yeah.
Doesn't hold a lot of water with me, Ryan. Sorry.
Let's see.
Movies and other stories about it do creep me out. So
yeah.
Go figure.
What's the name of that one? The movie that you recommended?
Ouija. Origin of Evil.
Origin of Evil. Okay. Yeah, we asked for scary movie recommendations, by the way, so some of these answers are throwing those at us. Shmuda. Check out Fall and Barbarian. Oh, boy. I checked out Barbarian. Oh, boy.
Yeah, dude. Barbarian.
Oh, boy. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Layers.
What the fuck?
No spoilers. Let's not give people any spoilers.
What the fuck?
But it's layers.
Wow.
Justin Long playing a real putz.
Wow.
Well acted on everybody's part.
Mm-hmm. Baby.
Every time you think this is what the creepy part is, it's not the creepy part.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I don't want to spoil it because it's a new movie and some people might not have gotten to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know what Fall is, so I don't know that one out.
I watched something else that you hated the other day just to see how bad it was. And somehow finished the whole series. I watched that fucking The Watcher. Just because
I finished it too out of fucking spite.
Yeah.
What a hot turd.
So many of these series, it's like that could have been a movie. That could have been 90 minutes, not an 8-part series.
It didn't know what it was. Like, is it funny? Mm-hmm. Is it scary? Is it mysterious? It couldn't pick a tone. In spite of like everybody that was in it is like really good.
Yeah.
That Bobby Cannavale,
he's
one of those guys like, he's in this. He's like, at least he's going to be good to watch.
But he and Naomi Watts, they didn't really have chemistry. I didn't buy them as a couple. And just, I don't know. It was just it could have been interesting. Like, it was an interesting story. And I guess it's based on a true story.
It's based on a true story about this family moved into this place. We were talking about this. No? Mm-hmm. Weren't we talking about this?
Yeah, you had mentioned how much you disliked it, and I went and watched it just to see.
So you watched. All right, uh-huh. Yeah. And what's her name? The lady who's always in the mockumentaries, blonde lady, Stifler's mom.
Oh, yeah, Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, and for her to, like, she does play a good bitchy woman, whereas, like, mm-hmm. normally she plays kind of ditzy. She was, like, mm-hmm. good and bitch, but it's like, okay, but then she's being funny, but then it's not supposed to be funny. It sucked.
Yeah.
And then I looked at reviews, and it's like nice to read review, like professional reviews that you finally agree on. Like, we all agree it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Shmuda's, the question is, what's your favorite of each of the scary movie subgenres? Creature features, slasher, haunting, full core, possession. This is a little long. I thought it was like, which is your favorite of the subgenre? Mm-hmm. I like haunting.
Yeah, you
slasher,
like
slasher. Slasher, it's not. I watched Green Inferno.
Yes.
Eli Roth. Was like,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't do it. It's like, it was kind of stupid. Mm. Not even kind of. It was stupid. And it'd be one thing. Yeah, it'd be one thing if it was cannibalism, but then you didn't, like, put really fucked up sex stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, make the movie the way you want to make it, but it's like, if it's just, look at all these people eating a guy that's kind of hilarious. Like, they're nibbling bits off and, like, it's stretching the guy's screaming. Like, that's over-the-top silliness. But then you're putting creepy, like, rape stuff in there. I'm like, nah, that's not scaring me. It's just making me feel bad.
Yeah.
For the actors that have to do this.
That always seems unnecessary.
Yeah, like the Hostel movies and everything. I'm like, good job. You came up with something fucked up. Mm-hmm. Anybody can do that. Like, to come up with something that's fucked up, but then within context of a story that, like, Like, the movie Seven has fucked up stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Good story. I can't articulate why. Like, yeah, why it was interesting that the guy's mm-hmm. following the sins, and it was horrible, and he's making people do horrible things, and they also mm-hmm. kind of told you instead of showing you.
Mm-hmm.
Or implied instead of showing you in some instances.
Yeah, I mean, like the main part there with what's in the box, we don't see what's in the box, but it's revealed.
Yeah, but there's some, anyway. But I don't know. What else did I watched It, the new It.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that when it came out a few years ago. It's all right.
I'm just like, what is it? So it's just a, you know, scary clown. It was parts that were scary, but I'm like, what's the premise of the clown that's scary?
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it kind of lost me.
Somebody once, like, described Stephen King things. It's like all the same. Like Cujo, dog has scary rabies. Christine, car has scary rabies. Shining, hotel has scary rabies.
Oh, man. Misery. Kathy Bates has scary rabies.
Misery's was good, though.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a lot of his stuff, but yeah, it's not the foolproof stamp of approval that it was when I was a kid. You know, oh, Stephen King, anything Stephen King, it's going to be great.
Yeah, like if I watched It and I was 12 years old, I'd be like, it's scary because this is just, here's a scary scene and here's a scary scene and I'm scared through the whole thing. But now as an mm-hmm. adult, I'm watching, I'm like, but why is it, like, what's the basis for
mm-hmm.
it being scary, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, boy, I sure got a lot of answers.
Hey, that's why we're here, buddy.
You know. All right, what are we doing?
Let's see here. We Have Fun official. Revisit Poltergeist 2, but try to keep perspective watching it as a very young child who believed everything they saw on screen to be real. Mm-hmm. You've got a good idea of my childhood. I don't think I've seen Poltergeist 2. I've seen the original. I really enjoyed that. What happens in 2?
Poltergeist 2, where they're in the high-rise, where they have to go to the...
Is it the same family?
I'm getting it screwed up with Exorcist 2.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Okay, maybe, these are all... I got all night to just kick it
mm-hmm.
and pack up and handle things. So...
Yeah, I loved Poltergeist, the original Poltergeist. That scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. That clown doll, was it the clown doll in the room?
Again, yeah, doing it with clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Make it, you know, you want to do freaky shit with, like, everybody hates the clowns. I don't know what I'm talking about here. Yeah, that's like that movie Terrifier 2. That's supposed to be like the reviews got me because it's like, oh man, people are throwing up in the theater. I'm like, all mm-hmm. right, you got me. You hyped me. Because I tried to watch the original, which was All Hallows Eve. And again, it was just like, all right, congratulations on the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no stories didn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. You did makeup. It's gory. But all right, I'll take that. I'll take revisiting movies. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Jacqueline Parker, not a movie, but The Haunting of Hill House scared the bejesus out of me. I like how you capitalize the B and J in bejesus.
Uh-huh.
Scared the bejesus out of me. I thought it was really well done, like the NBC show Parenthood, but with ghouls.
Did you ever see that show?
I don't know what show it is, but I know Haunting Hill House was done well.
I watched all of Parenthood, thanks to Katie, a few years ago. We binged it.
Yeah.
And, oh, boy. A little goes a long way.
What is that? What's the...
It's just a family drama.
Oh, does it have... it's like Hilary Duff, or who's the...
Dax Shepard was in it. Who else?
Teen singing sensation.
Yeah, I don't think Hillary Duff was in there. I could be wrong, but I don't remember her.
Parenthood.
It was, I mean, it's just typical network family drama, but, you know, you get sucked in. You get invested in the characters.
Okay.
Potter. Somebody Potter. The Nick Cage's wife in Con Air. She's in it.
All right, I'm looking at the. I don't recognize this at all.
Yeah.
Could not tell you.
I don't know
a
how
single
it's
thing about it. But I'll tell you that Haunting Hill House is a good show. I'll tell you
that's
that
an
much.
Interesting comparison.
Yeah. You're gonna get this. Well, first off, Bud Dwyer Tire Fire says Noroi the Curse. Real fun, pleasant found footage Japanese horror movie. Okay, thank you for the suggestion. As for a question, if Charlie and Dirtnap were in a band, what instruments would they play and what would the band sound be?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, I feel like we got two versions of, like, original jazz on our hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you have, like, a real... Charlie's playing the Skins. Charlie's got a wild vibe.
That's what I was thinking. Charlie would be banging on the drums.
He's improv and he's a wild man. He's on speed and an old Dirty D, real dope fiend, real heroin addict.
Yeah.
Looking at her right now, can barely keep her eyes open. Sleepy trumpet player.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sleepy, mellow trumpet player.
I like it.
That's what I'm saying.
And maybe we throw Harvey or Truman in there to play piano with her tail. I always think it'd be funny if a cat played piano with its tail.
It seems complicated. I mean, people are... It's a hard time with 10 fingers, let alone one, just one appendage. But yeah, I go, it's jazz. I think it's jazz. I think the improv a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Creamy Drippins, great name, upsetting. That's upsetting as it is. Creamy Drippins, no question this month, but if you haven't seen X and Pearl, I can't recommend them enough. Pearl is a masterpiece. I appreciate that. Every time I've watched X, it's been late at night, and I've been enjoying it, but then I fall asleep, and I need to give it another shot.
What's Pearl about? I don't know that one.
It's the prelude? What's
prequel?
Prequel, that's the word I'm looking for.
To X, I believe.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a trilogy.
Oh, okay.
So I appreciate that. X, it was a, you know, had a fun, silly vibe. I didn't get to the part of why the creeps were creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I gotta give that one a better idea. Who we got? Partly Cloudy, just because I like that name also.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, guys. What movie gave you nightmares when you were little? Thanks. Oof. Night of the Demons scared me, but also had boobs in it. So I'd watch it, and I would have to get through scary parts to get to the boobs. And then I'd get to the boobs. I'm like, I don't know if it's worth it. I'm too scared to be horny over these boobs.
Hmm. Night of the Demons. I don't know that one.
It was just a cheap... Kids go to a place to party, and it's a big haunted castle.
Was it one of those, like, USA Up All Night?
It was on cable. We had cable at an early age. I think I've said that, but I was raised by cable television.
That USA and, Up All Night pissed me off so bad.
Well, yeah, it was blue balls, man.
They make you think you're going to see some boobs.
But you know you're not. You never will. But they
because
do
it's on USA
job.
And not HBO or something. Yeah. But I always forgot that, and I was like, surely we're gonna see some boobs.
Yeah.
Nope.
Also, just go with the Night of the Comet was a good one.
Oh yeah.
Night of the Comet was Comet passes over and makes everybody demons.
Okay.
One gal survives because she. Sleeps in like a lead cased room in a movie theater, something about like so it would keep the movies fresh. I don't know, or it was like an old bomb shelter, and she meets up with her friend who survives and just in a demon in a zombie landscape after a comet passed over.
So,
man, I saw the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre when I was about 8.
Oof.
Fucking scared the shit out of me. That was
never
rough.
Saw it.
You've never seen that movie?
No, because I feel like when it was, then I got in my teens, I'm like, oh, this looks old. And I didn't appreciate mm-hmm. it for it being a classic at that point. And now I'm just like, well, I'm like, I'll get to it. And there's always something else to watch, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a slow burn. You know, it's not an action packed one. It takes a while to get to the exciting parts. But man, it had an impact on me as a young lad. That and Swamp Thing. I remember watching Swamp Thing. I think I had bad dreams about that crazy swamp monster.
Some classics just don't age well, or like, I guess they were important for the time that they came out.
Mm-hmm.
But not like Easy Rider is a fucking drag.
Oh, so boring.
Easy Rider, like, and it's like, oh, it's about the, you know, aimless dystopian attitude towards, like, I'm like, I don't know, it's just fucking two dudes fucking off on motorcycles. Way to go, Bad Boys. I don't give a shit. I do not give a shit.
Oh.
But again, maybe it's like in the moment, like in the time, if you were alive in the time the movie came out, given what movies were expected to be, that was the era that these movies were like, you know, breaking the mold. And like some of these horror movies were breaking the mold of like, fuck Alfred Hitchcock. Here's the guy that wears somebody else's face on his face. Although Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which I watched at a friend's house.
I like that one. That's Dennis Hopper, speaking of which.
Dennis Hopper, and they put the bodies, they make chili with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, went to chili cook-off.
Bunch of things for you to like in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that one was silly, but I watched it as a kid, so it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
Heck-a-sketch. You guys once mentioned the idea of a Netflix party with the patrons. Do you think that could still be on the table? Also, we just watched Mr. Harrigan's Phone. Slow burn, but decently spooky. Not super happy with the ending, but I think it's worth a watch. Thanks, guys. Much love. Thanks, Heck-a-sketch. I don't know what Mr. Harrigan's Phone. I see the black phone has come up on some of these lists.
I saw that one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
That's the new one, I think, with what's his face? Ethan Hawke. He's in there.
Okay.
And it's kind of a classic setup as far as, I don't want to spoil anything, let's just say creepy van.
So, okay.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
But, have not heard of Mr. Harrigan's Phone. Netflix Party, that was a thing that happened over lockdown.
Like a watch-along? Were we kicking that idea around?
You watch, everybody starts it at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, on a sidebar, you can comment
as
you're watching it.
I like that
just
idea.
Just typing it in, like, uh-huh. live feed.
Yeah.
I mean, given that we haven't been able to get video together in 7 years, 6.5 years, I don't know if we're going to get this one together. Old heck of sketch, but it'd be... it's always nice to have good ideas on hand.
That's right. One day we're going to hire an audio video director, and they can handle all this for us.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Mark says, most recent new comic that you saw that blew you away.
Hmm.
I don't know about new. Amber Autry, who was supposed to host for us in Nashville but couldn't do it, mm-hmm. but she hosted for me in Louisville, and she was great. Man, you know what? I hadn't seen him in a while, so not new, but Dave Ross moved to New York.
Oh, yeah.
But he was at Fest, and it was great. I hadn't seen him in a while, and he was just, he just had a fantastic set.
Yeah, Dave can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so.
Get him all worked up. Gets all worked up, starts complaining about everything.
But if you can complain well, like if you can navigate and do it in a way that's hilarious,
He's just talking about like how like the folding phones with mm-hmm. glass. That's glass that folds. I thought I knew what glass was. I don't know what anything is anymore.
Man,
glass. Basic things I knew about glass, can't fold it. I'm wrong. Fuck me. Fuck me. Fuck you. Like it's just going off. Yeah, it was just great, man. I just had such a fun time watching him.
He's funny. His old sketch group popped up on my YouTube algorithm the other day. Women. Do you remember Women?
Mm-hmm.
It was him, Jake Wiseman, and Alan Strickland Williams, and Pat Bishop, and put out dozens of little sketches. Like I love like quick. Like, a lot of their sketches are less than 60 seconds. And just dozens and dozens of just ridiculous, just absurd silliness. But, man, it really hit the spot, some of those sketches. So, yeah, check out Women on YouTube if you haven't seen those.
Probably Google Women Sketch Group. Don't just Google Women. Like to see some women.
Women.
Any kind.
Whatever you
it's how heterosexual I am. I just like to see some women doing whatever. Doesn't have to be naked. Just being women.
Oh, man. All right. We got time for what? One more?
We can get, we can get a couple more in here for you guys.
Just reading spicy sweet chili Doritos. What do you do if you try to bang a sexy nun, but it turns out she's just a regular nun that happens to be hot? Well, you know, everybody's got their own taste there, spicy sweet chili Doritos. Who was it that used to have a joke about
that? How did I not see this question on my list?
Somebody had a joke years ago, and I can't remember, but they're like, hey, I saw a homeless lady with nice tits. It's weird. I'm assuming they're real. It's like, I mean, this premise has been done, but it's so true. Like, and I unhoused instead of homeless, but I see so many unhoused dudes with just wonderful heads of hair.
Oh, just, yeah. I've
just
said that.
Flowing locks. And it's like, I guess that's the universe giving them something, I guess.
Yeah. So what's the question if you want to bang a...
What do you do if you try to bang a sexy nun, but it turns out just to be a regular nun that happens to be hot?
What's that? Then isn't that sexy?
Yeah. I think
like a sexy nun, like a Halloween costume?
Yeah, I guess the conflict is that you thought it was just somebody dressing up like a sexy nun, but it turns out, oh, you're just a regular nun who happens to be hot.
Those are entirely different outfits.
That's true. That's true.
You would know. You would know. Mm-hmm. I don't think a regular nun would be out celebrating Halloween Devil's Night.
Well, and how would you tell a regular nun?
In the habit.
You know, how would you tell if they're sexy? I mean, that's not a very revealing outfit. I mean, there could be a sexy person underneath there, but I don't know how you would know that.
You know, attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sexy doesn't mean just physicality, Dave.
That's true.
Could be the idea of, like, choosing abstinence, the elusivity of it. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Look who wants nothing. People are attracted to people that want nothing to do with them sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
And who wants nothing to do with you more than, like, a nun?
Mm-hmm. She don't need you.
No, she got Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She got a man.
Got a man. John Stevenson has a good one. Did you have any weird local or regional Halloween traditions or pranks growing up? In central Indiana, kids went corning. You'd get a bunch of dry feed corn from a farm. Dry feed corn from a farm. Hide somewhere on the side of a dark country road and huck handfuls of corn kernels at cars when they went by.
All right.
He continues, Troll Hunter is a fun movie. It's found footage, and it's Norwegian, so you have to read it. Definitely boogie appropriate and fun to watch. It's free with Prime. All right. Cornin. Hey, you want to go cornin? Let's go huck corn kernels and cars. Oh, man. I told you about the time.
Like that's a term somebody would know if you said it. Hey, we're going cornin. Oh, cornin.
Let
me get my cornin glove.
When I was a sophomore in high school, only one of our buddies had a license that early in the year. And Brian Roach and me and Brian Roach and a few other dudes, we all piled into his 84 Jeep Cherokee. He had a nice gray Jeep Cherokee. I think it was called
those are the
something
boxy
else.
Ones. I like those.
Yeah, I think it was called something else, though, like a Cherokee Chief or something like that. Mm-hmm. But and we all had on rubber masks, like Jason mask or Freddy mask or something. And for whatever reason, somebody had a few pretty realistic looking replicas of a Tech 9 machine gun. And we were just driving around in our masks, pointing our guns out the window at people. And we drove by this guy named Craig Vickers. He was a senior, and we knew Craig, but not very well. And plus, we had a mask. We thought it'd be funny to point. He's out in his driveway. Mm-hmm. This is Halloween, probably about 7 p.m. Just got dark. So we pull up to his house and roll down the windows, and we stick our guns out the car. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And then Craig goes, "What the fuck?" And he hops in his truck with his real gun and chases us all over town for like 20 minutes. Yeah. We couldn't lose this guy, and we were all like so scared. Like, oh, fuck, he's got a real gun, and what do we do? Do we pull over and tell him it's us? And eventually we lost him. I mean, he chased us like all over the city for like 20 minutes. And we were just terrified. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
We used to do car chases. Mm-hmm. What a dumb thing.
Yeah.
Getting car chases.
We'd do that. We'd steal stop signs. I used to steal stop signs. Never dawned on me, hey, asshole, someone might need that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, oh, I'd like to think that nobody got hurt because of that, but geez.
Yeah, yeah. We'd play like block-wide laser tag.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I
like
bet
just
that's fun.
Hopping fences, being on strangers' roofs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun.
Probably not as fun as corning, though. Maybe next Halloween we'll get some.
Well, we just
turtles.
Throw some dry corn at a car.
Ha ha! Gotcha, idiot.
Well, Central Indiana didn't have a lot of other options as far as entertainment. Either that or you join the Klan.
Oh boy! Well, good times, buddy. I feel like that's a good stopping point.
We got plenty more. Yeah, we got plenty more.
And even though it's, you know, the question was originally Halloween specific, I mean, horror movies are universal. Well,
it's in the wheelhouse.
We'll get to these eventually.
We still Jeff Riley recommends Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I've seen that. That was fun.
Stuart Lindver, Noroi, The Curse, Angst, and Alucarda. Mandy with Nick Cage. Just current iteration of Nick Cage is just mm-hmm. a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot to go here. Somebody else stand Poltergeist 2.
Maybe I'll watch that tonight.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll end on this, man. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm going through these. Mark Heffler says, probably a Kyle question. He says, do you have any stories of Brad Stewart you'd like to share? Brad Stewart, passed away a week and a half ago. Pancreatic cancer, I think it was.
Was it pancreatic?
Yeah. I think he found out late August and... It was, you know, month and a half.
Fuck.
I found out about it. I texted him, and he's like, it's this. I'm going through chemo. Chemo's giving me blood clots, so that's actually what's a problem right now. He's like, I'm going home with some oxygen. I'm like, that's good. You know, you get to be at home instead of being in the hospital. And I texted him on a Friday, like, hey, bud, just checking in. How you doing? And then I saw the news on the Sunday that he had passed away.
Fuck. Damn it.
Mark says, I live in Lincoln. He was the very center of our comedy scene. His loss came so quickly, and anything you have to share would be really nice. I will do that. There's a well, I don't know. I will not, the time, nobody will know the time frame, so it's funny. He ran Zubar Comedy on Sunday nights for I don't know how many years, and I played there a year ago, last Thanksgiving, running up to my Thanksgiving shows, we played Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, so he there was a time in L.A. he ran a show at a place called, what was it called, Room 5? But he had a show, and we'd hung out, and he lived in the Valley. I think he lived in Sherman Oaks or something. And he didn't have a car, so he was taking a bus over the hill to do his show. Was off Fairfax, I believe, kind of by Cantor's, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he would always take the bus to do that show or to do, you know, whatever kind of hangout was going on. This is like pre-Lyft and Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one time he calls me and he's hanging out at he got a ride with a gal that also lived in Sherman Oaks over to some show in Hollywood. And this gal wound up hooking up with a fella. These are all parties that we both know, but no need to bring the names into it.
Mm-hmm.
But hooking up and stranded Brad in Hollywood. And it was too late for him to catch a bus. So he just walked home. He walked over Laurel Canyon.
Damn.
Back to, yeah. So it's like you're crossing. I'm not going to say it's a mountain range, but it's a pretty hardy system of hills, the Hollywood Hills.
It's not easy to drive. Like it's so.
No, and there's not a sidewalk.
No. No.
Yeah, so I got this voicemail from him. I was asleep. This is the middle of the night. He's walking over. And he always was bubbly. Like, even if he was pissed, you could tell, like, everything he was saying, you could tell he was saying it, like, while he was smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he was complaining about something, there was this kind of, like, chipper attitude about it. And he's like, hey, man. So, anyway, yeah, so, I was at the show with the... You know, like with Shannon, and she hooked up with Mike, and so they went home together. Anyway, I don't have a ride home, so I'm walking over Laurel Canyon right now, and I just figure I'd call. I'm trying to pass time calling people, seeing what they're up to, seeing if they're up, and I'm just calling, and like, yeah, I could call my girlfriend to come pick me up, but it's late, and I don't love her anymore, so I'm not going to bother with that kind of thing. Anyway, just hope you're doing well, and I'll talk to you later.
Oh, and
he just nonchalantly goes, like, he wasn't even trying to be funny. He's like, yeah, I could call her, but she's probably sleeping. I don't love her anymore anyway. Anyway, okay, hope you're doing well.
Also, what a weird time to call people, because he probably didn't have a headset. He's probably holding the phone up to his ear back then.
Trying to kill some time, make some phone calls, hucking it over this hill.
Oh, man, what a trek that would be on foot.
Yeah, so... Yeah, via con Dios, oh, Brad.
Yeah, that sucks.
The only kind of silver lining is, like, at least you didn't get some kind of cancer that draws it out and makes things miserable for a long time. But it sucked, and it shocked everybody. And he was, that show is kind of the anchor there. And I know they're doing one on the 13th, I believe, is a big to-do. So if you live anywhere near Lincoln, Zubar. In Lincoln, Nebraska, Sunday the 13th, I think they're doing a big show.
Nice.
For old Brad. So go stop by, hear some fun stories about it. I'm sure people will be sad, but people will probably have fun stories about the guy. And
yep.
Yeah, he gave a lot of stage time to just people he liked, whether credits or not. That's how I met Andrew Orvidal for the first time.
To
credit Brad for... Yeah, met him at that show. I'm like, this guy's funny, and he rode a bike there. I'm like, I started talking to him for that, and I believe that was Sunday nights too that he did that show.
Hmm. Yeah, I only met him once. I met him once about maybe 8 years ago in Lincoln, passing through doing a show. I don't know. I don't think I was doing his show, but he was at the show, and we had a good conversation. He immediately, you know, referenced you. He's like, oh yeah, I know Kyle. I used to live in L.A. Had a good talk.
Yeah.
Seemed like a real nice dude.
Yeah, he went back there because his dad had fallen ill, so he moved from L.A. back to Lincoln. So, but Mark, that's one of many stories I have about old Brad. But it's a sad situation. Sad way to end the episode, but the dude gave himself towards the thing he cared about and provided a stage for anybody coming through town and. Always organized a fun show, and if anything like that, you know, it's admirable to see somebody that he could have been bummed out. Oh, I'm moving back to Lincoln. But nope, I'm just going to start doing comedy here, and I'm going to start a fun show here and start a scene here. So,
and guys like him are so important to what we do. Like, to think, I know you're doing a lot of clubs now, but we both have done, you know, our fair share of DIY stuff. And to think that, I don't know, trying to do what I do without guys like Brad would be damn near impossible. You know, if all I had to do was, you know, try to get greenlit from every club around, you know, but just knowing that, okay, there's a scene, there's a guy who can book a show, you know, and he can get people out, and there's good local comics that can be on the show. And like, that's just so important. I wouldn't be able to do what I do without guys like Brad. So that's, he provided a great service.
Yeah. Independent comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope somebody takes the reins.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, it was a blues club called the Zoo Bar. It was a good room. It's always a good crowd out there. So mm-hmm. I hope somebody takes the reins in Brad's honor. Oh, well, all right. Not the cheeriest way to end, but I saw that question. I'm like, oh, I do want to address that one.
Yeah. No, that's good.
That one's been on my mind. So.
Well, right on, buddy.
All right, everybody. Take care of yourselves, patrons. Take care of the people around you. Scare them out of love.
Mm-hmm.
That means something else. Scare the love out of them. No, that doesn't sound right either. You know what I mean.
We know what you mean, buddy. All right, man. Well, you have fun in Kansas City, and we'll talk to you on the regular episode next week.
You betcha.
Okay, thank you.